Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Laura W. from South Jersey, and I am a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic. Today is Friday, October 20th, 2023. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 160 in a Vision for You, that first paragraph, beginning with outsiders became interested through when next he stumbled. We're going to be reading and sharing on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are, thank you everybody for your service, the 12 Steps, Kim T, the 12 Traditions, Rhonda R, reader of the text is Betsy H, page 164 at the end of the meeting is Chanel T, our backup reader is Julie E. B, our newcomer greeter Nancy C, and announcements will be done by Shelley E. The reference number for yesterday, Thursday, October 19th, the 10 a.m. meeting is 20,759. That's 20759. And for Friday, this morning, 7 a.m. meeting, October 20th, the reference number is 20,762. 20762. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Kim T. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, good morning, everyone. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks, I pass.
Thanks, Kim T. And I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Laura. Good morning, everyone. Rhonda R. in Georgia. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to do service today.
Thank you, Rhonda R. Thank you so much. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. I'll give you a gentle reminder when your time is up. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you're done sharing, please let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 again to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, we ask that everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we are resuming our study of the Big Book. We are on page 160, that first paragraph, beginning with outsiders became interested through when next he stumbled, and we'll be sharing on that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Betsy H. to please get us started.
Hi, good morning. Betsy H., recovered compulsive reader in California. Outsiders became interested. One man and his wife placed their large home at the disposal of this strangely assorted crowd. This couple has since become so fascinated that they have dedicated their home to the work. Many a distracted wife has visited this house to find loving and understanding companionship among women who know her problem, to hear from the lips of their husbands what had happened to them, to be advised how her own wayward mate might be hospitalized and approach when next he stumbled. So this is an exciting time in the development of AA where people were starting to recover and they were getting together and sharing. And it seems like I could just imagine there being like a lot of synergy and maybe a lot of intense times. There was probably bad times too, like with the probably arguments and power struggles and people who relapsed as well and all the turmoil. But it's, you know, they always say that a crisis is danger, but it's also opportunity. So sometimes, you know, when we're starting to recover, it's like a very tumultuous time, an exciting time, but intense, transformational. And so that's what it's reminding me of going through step one and then working the steps, putting down the food, and then the life, you know, starting to clean up the messes of the past, and then the life starting to open up and new things happening. And a lot of miracles happen when we get in recovery. It's amazing. And I love the idea of having a great fellowship like is described in this paragraph. And I think it is happening more and more with the phone and the Zoom meetings. And then I imagine it will be, there'll be more people in in-person meetings as we go forward in the future as well. So that's an exciting thought to have like a lot more people around us in recovering and in recovery. And because that's just it's like the foundation for my life, because if I'm in the food, if I'm in the active food addiction, nothing really works in my life. And it's like a downward spiral. But then being in recovery is an upward spiral, and things will keep getting better to the next level and getting better. So it's important. We're not perfect. None of us are perfect, but, you know, together we're more powerful than we are alone. It's very hard for me to try to just be alone and isolated and fight against the thoughts in my own head that are telling me to go eat my killer foods, you know. But in fellowship and being of service, working the steps together, there's a lot more strength. And it can be a lot more fun, too. So with that, I will pass.
Thanks, Betsy H. Thanks so much for getting us started. And before I start taking names, although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you've shared on any Vision for You meeting on Wednesday or Thursday this week, please hold off and let others, other voices be heard. And please give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from. So who would like to share?
Hi, this is Caroline.
This is Christy. I heard Caroline. Caroline, your last initial and
M. And I'm not sure where I'm calling from. I'm on the train. I live in California, but I'm on the East Coast right now.
Thanks, Caroline. Okay, who else would like to share?
Christy M. from Portland, Oregon.
Thanks, Christy. Gotcha. Anybody else want to share? Page 160, that first paragraph.
Stephanie S. from Washington State.
Stephanie? Gotcha.
Tom L. from California.
Tom L. from California. Thank you. Anybody else? All right, in the essence of time, let's get going. Caroline M. from California, followed by Christy M. Caroline, please share with us.
Hi, thanks. This is Caroline from California, and I am so grateful to be here. Those very first words really got me thinking. Outsiders became interested because in the time that I've been in OA and since I've become recovered, I've had a different experience with my conversations with people that I don't even know. Sometimes the subject of either food or other behaviors comes up, and people notice. For those of us who eat abstinently and have really recognized what our trigger foods are, sometimes it becomes a topic of conversation. So I'm really grateful when people ask about things, and I don't hesitate to talk about the fact that I consider myself a food addict and how I came to find a connection to a loving power and focus on that so that my eating wasn't something that I was doing so compulsively. I'm recently traveling for the last few weeks, and it's been interesting to see what I can do to make sure and eat in a an abstinent way. But it's working for me, and I'm really grateful for all these for phone meetings and things that I can call in at any time of the day or night. And I have met a lot of outsiders, and that has been a real pleasure for me. So with that, I'll pass and mute.
Thanks, Caroline M. from California. Up next is Christy M., followed by Stephanie F. Christy, please share with us.
Yeah, good morning. This is Christy, grateful recovering bulimic anorexic and overeater.
And, what page are we, please? What page are we, please? I'm sorry to interrupt.
Christy, please continue. I'll announce that, please, at the when she's done. Please, Christy, continue your share. I'm sorry for the interruption.
Yeah, good morning. I think this is what this is making me think of this morning is just this kind of fellowship.
Christy, I think we lost you.
I think I might have gotten muted, so I'm unmuted now. Can you hear?
Okay. You're back. I got you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yeah, I think what's really resonating with me in this passage this morning is just the importance of fellowship and recovery. You know, it's one of the ways we get better, and I can't ever underestimate the importance of, you know, making outreach calls, having sponsorship, and coming to meetings. I'll say this time of year is a big struggle for me, and I'm sure a lot of others, where a lot of our celebrations around holidays are really centered around food and certain types of food, and a lot of those foods happen to be trigger foods for me. And even with the next kind of celebration coming up of Halloween, it's a very challenging day for me. And figuring out how to allow my family members to celebrate it, but also honor my own recovery. And it's a very unique experience to be having on some of these celebrations. And sometimes it can feel isolating. And sometimes family members don't seem to understand. Like, their reaction is they think of it more like I'm on a diet, or, you know, like, oh, well, you can have it just this one time, or it's okay. And it's like, no. It's not okay. Like, this isn't a diet. I have like a life-threatening disease, and I have to keep going back to that truth and that reality of like what I'm facing. It's not a diet. It's not a weight problem. I have a life-threatening illness, and I have to take that seriously. And sometimes people just don't get it. They don't get it. They think maybe I'm just being a picky eater. Maybe I'm just being difficult or high maintenance. Or that I'm being a little like over the top or excessive. And so it's really important during this time, because my disease wants to pick up on that message. It wants to say, oh yeah, I can do it this one time. It's not that serious. You know, like, my disease wants to hear that and like grab onto it. And I need to keep coming back to this fellowship where I have other individuals who are facing the same life-threatening disease and who understand that during this holiday, like, my holiday has to look very different. And, you know, what does it look like to celebrate some of these days where food is not the centerpiece of the celebration, where that is a lot of what happens in our culture. And I'm just so grateful that I do have that fellowship, that I can call into this meeting.
Thanks for the reminder.
Thank you. I'll wrap up. And be able to hear from folks who understand what my recovery needs to look like during this time. So thank you with that, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Christy. Thanks for sharing. If you just came on the line, we're reading page 160 in A Vision for You, the first paragraph, Outsiders Became Interested Through When Next He Stumbled, that one paragraph only. Up next is Stephanie S., followed by Tom L. Good morning, Stephanie. Stephanie S., please press star.
Sorry about that. Hi, I'm a grateful in Washington State. This is Stephanie S., and this is the first time I've shared. I've been listening for like 6 months, I think, almost. Just got a sponsor this week, and so I'm a newbie, but I'm encouraged by this paragraph. I noticed that, you know, the spouses got involved, which was kind of interesting to me. me being, I do have a partner, and but I'm just, you know, starting off, and I thought it was also kind of exciting how this fellowship, you know, kind of, they got together in their home, and obviously right now I'm doing a lot on Zoom and on the phone, but the thought of maybe actually doing face-to-face meetings and actually being in my home with people or in other people's homes kind of would be exciting. So that just got me thinking. Anyway, that's what I got. Thanks for letting me share, and now I pass.
Thank you, Stephanie S. Thanks for sharing. Tom L. from California, you're up next.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Friday. This is Tom L. I'm a compulsive overeater in California. They were poor. This is a depression. They were drinkers. They had destroyed their lives financially, health-wise. A lot of them were in the hospital. I was in similar condition when I first came to OA. I'd been isolating for many years on disability. I was able to find a way to get paid to eat, which seemed like a great thing at the time. I didn't have to work, but I got so sick. I got everything I wanted, all the free time I wanted, and through a series of miracles, which is hard to describe even today, I found myself in a room in Costa Mesa, California, on a Wednesday night, and there was a circle of people, and that's what this reminds me of. It was a strangely assorted crowd, mostly women, some men. Many of the men were in sales. I'm not sure why, but they gave me a place to go every Wednesday night, and I became fascinated with them. Now, I'd been isolated. Literally nobody. I didn't answer the phone. The only people I saw were you know, checkout people at the grocery store, 24 hours a day, every day, month after month, year after year. I'd been alone, and then all of a sudden there were all these people here, right in front of me. And they were welcoming. They were not judgmental. I was very heavy. Some of them were heavy. Most of them were not. They told stories I didn't believe, and I felt comfortable there. And I had never felt comfortable. There was a magic in the room. However, this does not last. Once I began losing weight, and that restless, irritable, and discontent started showing up, I started judging those people. And I think if I had not grabbed on to the program of recovery and an experienced member of this program who helped me, I would not be able to stay in that room. For us, we get a period of grace and sobriety out of nowhere. I don't know why I was able to, you know, after years of really horrible eating, I was able to eat moderately and not eat those foods that I can't control. I was able to do that, I think, on alone, and then I needed to start doing the work. And the real change happens when I started helping other people, and that's today. If I stop helping other people, the room becomes very uncomfortable, and I begin judging everybody. So it really is the spirit that needs to be addressed in this program. The food has to be down, yes, because if I'm drunk, I'm not very spiritual. Anyway, that's what I got. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Tom L. from California. Okay, we are reading page 160 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the first paragraph. Outsiders became interested through when next he stumbled. So before I take another list of names, just a reminder that although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others can share their experiences too. When you give me your name, please give me your name, the first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Ken W.H.
Ken W.H.
Loretta H. from North Carolina.
Got you, Loretta. Thank you.
Sherry H.M.
Sherry, where are you calling from?
From Washington State.
Great. Who else would like to share? I've got Ken W.H., Loretta H., and Sherry H.M.
Mary Pat I. from Ohio.
Thank you, Mary Pat.
California.
Was that Jill C.?
Hi, Chevy.
Yes. I'm sorry, hold on. Did, 1 second, please. Jill, was that a Jill C.? I think it was Jill C. from California. Who was after Jill?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Margaret O. from Connecticut.
Oh. Okay, I've got Margaret O. from Connecticut, but there was somebody before Margaret.
Yeah, hi, Chevy from New Jersey.
Great. Chevy from New Jersey. We're going to just stop it there for now. Thank you. I've got Ken W.H., Loretta H., Sherry H.M., Mary Pat I., Jill C., Chevy, and Margaret O. So, Ken W.H., you're up.
Good morning. This is Ken W.H. From North Carolina, recovered compulsive eater. I find the first few words of this to be intriguing. Outsiders became interested. Again, I have to keep the big book in its context and what it's speaking to. Alcoholism was then a serious issue. And the public was well aware of people who were not able to control themselves, was the theory back then, I guess. I have found today, just in my own experience, that most people aren't the least bit interested in what I have to eat. And when they raise a question or they see what I am eating, and that sometimes I even take my own food out to a dinner engagement, they may be curious, but they're not overly concerned because, frankly, I think for some it makes them feel a bit uncomfortable to see what I'm eating compared to what they're eating. I'm not sure how much outside interest there is anymore. I find it that I had to get here, and I had to get to Overeaters Anonymous and to find the folk and the people who are really interested in what I'm dealing with. Folk outside just don't have the time for it or the interest, and frankly, our culture just loves food. We just seem to be obsessed with it. And we're also back to advertising alcohol and everything else. For a long time, we didn't do that. So interest has waned, I think, in terms of folk like me and us. But that's not overly important in the long run. What's really important is that there are people like you and me that come onto this line and share our experience, strength, and hope so that we can be happy, joyous, and free. In living with food and our relationship to it. And from that, is where we get our sense of relationship and community and fellowship that is nurturing and supportive. And I'm so very grateful for it. Thanks for letting me share. Pass.
Thanks, Ken W.H. from North Carolina. Up next, we have Loretta H., also from North Carolina. Loretta, good morning.
Good morning, all, along with my precious God who is saving my life. Thank you, everyone, for sharing, and thank the moderator for her service. Loretta H. recovered in North Carolina, and when you were taking the names down, I realized how many H's there were, and it's about happy. So I just am, because I am in this program, and nobody saw me until you saw me. So the we in the program is very important to me, especially being that I am duly addicted, and also that I was born in 47 and AA was kind of originated. And at that time, and I'm a recovered Catholic today, I wasn't even accepted in that group, or, you know, I was not able to go because my religion set, or they were just not accepted in the Oxford group. Interesting. So now I come into, I have not in another program used for 45 years, but they still don't understand me. I love the girl that always says my credits don't transfer. I live with people that are recovered in that other program, and they still don't get me. And I am, that's why it's so important for me to be with a group of people that see me and that I understand them because they understand me. And my darkest past is my greatest asset, because when I came in and told my story to somebody, she saw me, and as I've shared, she has 50 years in this program, and it's only because of her work and the work I do today, the gift that keeps on giving, that keeps me in the gratitude that you see me. But I need to pass it on, because interestingly enough, I went to my sister's 45th in her other program, and several people I didn't eat there, or and I didn't bring my dinner, I just, you know, drank water. And they all asked me, why aren't you eating? Because, and I shared with them, because I'm in Overeaters Anonymous. And they look at me and they go, oh, okay, because I don't look like, but I am a real compulsive overeater. And several people told me and asked me if they could call me. And that's, again, that present of being present, being authentic. Thank you. And with that, I pass. Thanks all for saving my life. God bless.
Thank you so much, Loretta H. from North Carolina. And before Sherry shares, we're reading, just a reminder, page 160, the first paragraph, outsiders became interested. And up next, Jen. Morning, Sherry.
Hi, this is Sherry H.M. from Mount Vernon, Washington. Thanks so much for your service. I know these last paragraphs are really about sharing your personal, I can't think of the words early this morning, your strength, hope, and all, your story. Anyway, so I've been doing that for about the past 9 years, and yesterday I was in a Starbucks, and I was doing my step work, and I also had a pamphlet in there of for newcomers, and one lady was asking me, one barista, she said, oh, what are you up to today? I said, oh, I'm in a food program, kind of like AA, but it's OA for food, bulimia, and anorexia. And she said, oh, wow, how interesting. So anyway, then, of course, I went back and did my work, and we talked a little bit more in a while, and she gave me my drink. And then at the end, I decided, hey, I'm going to just give her this newcomer's pamphlet when no one else, you know, can see it. And if she's interested, great. So I wrote my name in it, first name, of course, and you know, text or call if you have any questions. And so I've been doing that for quite a few years now. She was really happy to get that. And people are usually confused because I'm, you know, there's no more weight to lose. Thank you to OA and my loving God. I'm so thrilled. But yeah, it's a good reminder. This is not a me program. It's a we program. And I've shared with lots of doctors and surgeons and baristas and a lady at the thrift store who also decided to come because she was looking at I was looking at some dresses, but they were, of course, size small and medium. And she said, oh, I wish I could wear those, but I've got this problem with sugar. And had a wonderful conversation, and she joined the program too. So anyway, thanks so much for your service, and have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks, Sherry H.M. from Washington. Up next is Mary Pat I. from Ohio, followed by Jill C. from California. Good morning, Mary Pat.
Hi. Thank you for your service and the Vision crew for Friday, all of your work. Thank you, and everybody out there. My name is Mary Pat I. I am from Ohio. And a couple of things that ran through my mind was, yeah, the first sentence on the outsiders became interested. I've had that experience myself because I'm an expert at putting on weight and taking it off and then putting it back on, you know, in extreme, in record short periods of time. And so I'm, you know, basically the, for a lot of people, the 12 step and the big book that they'll see, they do ask me questions because of the extreme. I was, you know, really unrecognizable, like Chris Brandy and Just Friends. And I still have a lot to go, but there's a marked difference that people around me can see and ask about. Also, with regard to the people that had opened up their hearts and their home, that to me is inspiring. Step 12 on turbo, really, and inspiring actually me to maybe do that myself, because it's really hard to find people in person meeting. And I need that. I need human contact. I need to speak and touch and see people. The other thing was the distracted wife. She had loving and understanding people to be able to speak with about her problem and be able to give her some kind of guidance and so forth. It just brings to mind poor my children that saw me gaining and losing, gaining, how crazy that is, just let alone the way I was acting. You know, they didn't really have anybody to tell any of that to. They just must have been freaked out major. So, yeah, with that, this paragraph is in really inspiring paragraph for me to really put 12 into action on the daily. And so thank you for letting me share. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mary Pat I from Ohio. Up next is Jill C, followed by Chevy. Jill, please share with us.
Hi, good morning. This is Jill C in Northern California. I haven't shared for a while, and I am just challenging myself to share, like so many of the others who said, you know, they've been listening for a while. What sticks out to me in this paragraph is really the fellowship among the women and the fact that people knew, you know, if someone went to that group, someone else knew what they were going through. And that's how I feel about OA. I can call up someone who I have no clue who they are, where they are, you know, nationwide, worldwide, and we start talking about the disease. And more often than not, they understand either maybe not the exact situation, but they understand what's going on in my mind. And that is such a huge comfort because it makes me realize I'm not alone. And yes, I have a higher power who's with me all the time and, you know, guides me through this program. But the fellowship of the people in it and just that, knowing, hey, you're not alone, we're trudging together. I've had that experience too. Such a great relief. I mean, I couldn't have imagined that I would find that in this program. I didn't know it existed. So, yeah, I'm just grateful and I'm really thankful that we have this meeting. Thank you all, and I will pass.
Thanks, Jill C. from California. Up next is Chevy, followed by Margaret O. Good morning, Chevy. Chevy, please press star one.
Hi, I'm sorry about that. Okay, thank you so much for this meeting and everyone who's here along with me. People were interested. I've been listening to some relapse podcasts and understanding the difference between alcohol and food addiction. And I think here I can apply it too. Where you know, I have had, I'll never forget when I was at a party and I brought along my food and I was sitting there a little bit uncomfortable eating my own food. And someone walked over to me very discreetly and she says, you know, I know what you're doing. I said, oh. And she's like, yeah, I was in a food program, a 12-step program. And she just said, I so admire it. I left and I'm really struggling. But that was like one story that I remember. And then there are people that try to be nice and respectful, but I feel, you know, there's judgment, you know, they can't help but, like, you know, look awry. But and then there's my family who we all share very similar compulsive eating patterns, and they watch me bring my food and, you know, it triggers them. So, and they'll stay quiet and I give them a lot of credit for that, and I try not to either make a big deal about it, but and I just have I try to have compassion for, because I know it so well, I know the disease. So I don't think, at least that's my personal experience, that people don't give you that that pat on the back for doing what I'm doing, for the most part. You know, there's a lot of, you know, they're sitting and eating their foods and feeling guilty about it and watching me eat my foods. So I just try to show up with a lot of compassion and with no judgment. And I think that, I'm sure they feel that, you know, that, like, I do what I do and that's okay. You do what you do and you're okay. And I've seen over the years where I've become much more confident in doing what I do without shame. I was just away, and my sister-in-law was watching me after countless meals together preparing my food, and she says, really, you can't have that salad? I said, oh, I really only eat foods that don't even trigger. They might not be sugar or flour or whatever, but they don't even want me, you know, they're not going to make me want more. And she looks at me and she's like, really? I'm like, yeah, you know what? I need to do that because I don't eat like you do. Like, I don't know. This is, for me, it's compulsive eating. And it was nice to give that explanation whether she got it or not. I was so grateful that I had the courage to say that. So, you know, I'm sure we influence people. Not always do we know how. But I still need to do what I need to do. And that's the boundaries that the program has taught me. I need to do what I need to do. And that's God's. That's what's my story every single day. I need to do what I need to do, not what anyone else has to do. So thank you for letting me share. Yeah, thank you. I'll pass.
Thanks, Chevy. Before you leave, yes. Sir, Chevy, what's your first initial of your last name?
Oh, F. F as in Frank.
Thank you. Chevy F from New Jersey. Thanks for your wonderful share. Up next is Margaret O. from Connecticut. And then I think we'll have time to take a few more. Good morning, Margaret.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for your service and for everybody being here. So let's see. I'm looking for a sponsor. I've called so many different people, and for one reason or another, the last person I spoke with had said she would sponsor me, and then I called and called and she wasn't there, and I left a message and never heard back from her. And it's kind of like, I don't know, I am kind of on the fence, because I've been in OA since 1998, and then I started Envision in July of this year, and I really love the Vision program, but there's part of me that resists it, because it's like, in some ways it feels very, very strict. But, you know, I was kind of going along, so I haven't had a sponsor for maybe a month. And then I found an OA sponsor who agreed to sponsor me, but she doesn't want to do the daily phone calls and all that. And I thought, oh, okay, you know, I've got this, you know, we'll just do a once a week to check in and blah, blah, blah. That's what I did with my sponsor, who I just let go of because I came into Vision and got a sponsor, and then that ended. But anyway, and you know, I was listening to Harlan G last night, a podcast while I was making dinner. And, you know, he said, this is a disease that I need to come to terms with, face to face with. And, you know, if you're going to attend meetings and use the tools and whatever, have a food plan, you're not going to have a spiritual experience. And he said, even after all the years he's been in program, that he calls his sponsor every day. He said, I talk to them every day and I have sponsees. And as soon as you get through the steps, you got to start sponsoring. You got to start giving it away, what you have, because that's the only way you're going to keep it. And it was like, yeah, this is where the rubber meets the road. Yes, I don't need once a week person talking to me for 20 minutes on the phone. I need a daily check-in with somebody. So now I'm back to like, okay, well, I'll get a vision sponsor. And so I'll be listening for names at the end of the call and trying another round of phone calls to see if someone can sponsor me. But it is a we program, and that is the biggest stumbling block for me, is that I want to do it alone. I've been a loner all my life. I had an emotional, you know, challenge growing up. I had a wonderful childhood, but it was emotionally not ideal for me, and I tend to withdraw. And is that time?
It is.
Okay. So I'll stop there. Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret O. from Connecticut. We actually do have time for a two-minute share. Would anybody like to take 2 minutes?
Hello? Jody?
Elaine Orr.
Yes.
Florida.
Who's from Florida?
Yes.
Who's from Florida, please?
Elaine Orr.
Elaine R. Great. You got about a minute and a half, Elaine.
Well, I was one of those outsiders who became interested. The name alone, Overeaters Anonymous, really interested me. And then it talks about a man and his wife, her name was Henrietta, and they disposed their home to an assorted group. And we are all assorted. And then it says that this couple became so fascinated that they dedicated their home to the work. That's how they became sponsors. That's how they started sponsorship. And then it goes on to say that, talking about another wife and the house, finding loving and understanding companionship among women who knew their problem. When I walked in and I heard that there were other people that had the same problem I did, then I realized they told me, go to Al-Anon. And so I did. But then it talked about what, from the lips of the husbands that were alcoholics, and of course there are other diseases than alcohol, but they talked about what happened to themselves. They were advised how their own way would make maybe hospitalized and approached when next he spoke. But they knew that one day he was going to stumble. Not everybody was perfect. And so she knew what to do with him when he stumbled. And that's what the paragraph means. It's about sponsorship. It's about people that contributed their home and their time to others. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Elaine R. from Florida. And thank you to everyone who shared today. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Chanel T. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Chanel T., please press star 1 to unmute.
Hi, this is Chanel T. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we got you.
Wow, I apologize. I was double muted. I'm just an extra genius today, and I'm also a grateful, compulsive eater living in recovery by the grace of God. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you. I pass.